Hello and welcome to People in Profit. I'm Yuka Hwaye, filling in for Charles Pellegrin. This week, we are going to look at the state of global debt. As European nations pledge to boost their defence spending in the face of a new transatlantic security reality, and as burgeoning trade wars threaten to raise prices faster, are countries able to achieve growth while keeping borrowing in check? The Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development has just released a new annual report on this issue. Luke Schrago gives us an overview.
Governments and businesses borrowed a record $25 trillion US dollars in 2024, nearly three times more than before the 2008 financial crisis. It's pushed global debt to over $100 trillion, and with interest rates on the rise, paying it back is getting much more expensive. Among OECD members, nearly half of all government debt will mature by 2027, meaning more borrowing at higher costs ahead and less for spending elsewhere. That's problematic for much of Europe, which is looking to boost defence spending in the face of recent unpredictability from its traditional US ally. However, developing nations will be facing the worst of the potential economic fallout. The UN has warned that an alarming number of developing nations are in debt distress, with interest payments exceeding 10% of government revenue in 56 countries, and of those, 17 are spending over 20%. What's more, these nations are most at risk when it comes to climate change, itself requiring massive investment for a transition to zero carbon and clean energy. Ultimately, the OECD report indicates the world has been borrowing on easy terms for far too long, and it seems the bill is about to come due.
Well, for more, we can speak with Carmine Di Noia, Director for Financial and Enterprise Affairs at the OECD. Carmine, great to have you on our show.
Now, thank you.
Governments and companies have been borrowing more and more, but with the period of cheap money now behind us, how unhealthy is the current state of debt markets?
First of all, let me say, as also it was anticipated that in the presentation, that it was good to have we are sitting on a lot of bonds, a lot of debt. But this is, in a sense, was good. We had an expansion of debt after the two big crises, the global financial crisis, 2007-2008, and the COVID. And this is exactly, especially in terms of the role of governments, what they have to do. So they have to intervene as a buffer against the, shocks. What is important, and we had monetary policy, so accommodating a lot of liquidity, and also corporates profited of it. So there is a lot of debt, a lot of bonds around. The problem, I would say, is that this is a lot. A lot is keep being issued. So these also this year we have a 25 trillion out of a 100 trillion stock of debt. And there is a lot of issuing, but the topic is that refinancing these bonds, both on the sovereign side and on the corporate side, will be more expensive than when they were issued. So half of it, a lot of it will expire in 3 years, 40% of sovereign and more or less, even more of the corporate. But the cost of refinancing will be higher. So we need to be, let's say, careful. And also to try to issue bonds and to issue more debt for more important and, let's say, profitable, sustainable investments rather than just support the recovery.
So, as you say, the cost of refinancing is set to go up. Now, European countries have pledged to boost defence spending over fears that the United States under President Trump might become a less reliable ally. But that would increase their borrowing. Germany, for example, is overhauling its debt brake system. Could Europe then face another debt crisis?
I mean, I don't think so, because these markets are, very liquid. European Union countries, they also are, big issuer. But for example, Germany we have seen after also this announcement that we had some effects on the market, but no one is putting into question, the stability of the European financial system and of single sovereign. Obviously, there will be that it is possible. We will see also what are the details of the plan that will be are being announced in these days, in these hours. But I think that there will be a sufficient you know, push coordination to go on the market without creating tensions. Obviously, with these kind of levels, and then we will see also what will be the response of different central banks of these, you know, we may have some short-term impact on the market, but I think this will be solved. There is still a lot of liquidity. There is a lot of interest for this kind of debt, and maybe we will see what can be the detail of the response. We could even have some issuance of maybe common European bonds, which may maybe even make the market more resilient and interested to this kind of issuance.
Now, the cost of refinancing, the challenges posed by that does not affect everyone at the same level. The United Nations recently warned that some 56 developing countries are facing the risk of debt crisis with high refinancing costs. That number nearly double from a decade ago. How is that impacting their economic development?
We have a focus this year, and this report is chapter three, focus on emerging markets and all MDs. They have issued, I would say, a lot proportionally also with respect to others, both. So they have still a big, you know, stock and also big, you know, big flow. The issue for these countries is that, especially for the small one, the market is not so much the local market developed. So typically, they're issuing in foreign currency, typically, you know, dollars on international markets. And in case, you know, of international tensions, tension of financial market, and increasing cost, as we're seeing, and this is common for everyone, they may have proportionally more difficulty in case of particular tensions to refinance. So it's important also that all the to develop, for example, this is something that the OECD is pushing a lot, to develop strong, you know, local also markets, to develop also important tools for managing public debt, but also, okay, all the framework for, you know, for resolution, which has been quite effective in these years, I think must be keep on being strengthened.
And developing nations in particular need more access to financing for their climate transition as well. But if it's in the form of loans, then that could drive some countries further into debt distress. How then should debt markets adequately play a role in this?
This is a very interesting question, and actually we have in this new chapter, the fourth chapter of the report, which is really tackling the topic of climate finance for all countries, both developed and developing countries. Obviously, we have important shortfall for all of them in terms of financing for reaching the Paris Goal Agreement and targets. And now we have some simulation, some scenario in terms of what is needed from, let's say, public finance, but also for private financing, and in particular for bond financing, energy companies and others. We all know that in order to reach these targets in all countries, and in particular in emerging countries, there cannot be only public financing that is doing that, again, because we have very high level of debt and already end of issues. So we need a combination of private, public. You mentioned loans, but we think really that bond markets should be more and more developed, as they can really contribute to reaching earlier, you know, the transition, given again the level of debt, which is really already quite high.
And so we do tend to focus on sovereign debt, but as you mentioned, the private sector is important in this market. How are they though? How are companies readying themselves to play a more an increased role in this?
This is really important. We had a record issuance of corporate bonds. After the crisis today, more or less the stock of corporate bonds is around 35 trillion. A lot has been issued. Actually, a lot has been issued also very favorable, terms. Still, a lot is issued. Around 70 trillion is still this year. There are similar features, and this is a positive. I always say this has been the way for corporates to enter the market after the crisis, in a financing different from the traditional bank loans, also due to a lot of new regulations. Now, and by the way, this is also important for our citizens, because this is also an interesting asset class for investors. Now, the topic is that not only this is big and will be refinanced at a higher cost, but our analysis shows that in many cases, what we have seen in terms of increasing level of bond issued by corporates has been used just for refinancing purposes or for financial management operations, buybacks and others, but not really issuing for a new investment purposes. So for what we call in technical terms, the CapEx and R&D development investments. So what is important is that even an increasing level of corporate debt is really issued for productive investment. These are the only one that can be able to repay the debt in the future.
Carmine Denoyer, OECD Director for Financial and Enterprise Affairs. Thank you so much for your insight.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that's all for this week. Thanks for watching. And remember, you can watch this and all our previous episodes on France 24's website and app, or listen to them wherever you get your podcasts. See you next time.
France 24, your economy explained.
Liberté, égalité, actualité.
Armenia is facing a serious demographic crisis. War, infertility, emigration, the population is declining.
If families don't start having at least 3 or 4 children, our country will cease to exist. The country would disappear.
And the government has decided to act. Fertility support, IVF for women up to the age of 53, surrogacy. All methods are being tried.
This new baby will change things. We'll be able to continue the family line.
Giving life while mourning the dead, whatever it takes.
If there's a war, I'll send him, yes. Aren will destroy the enemy if he must to avenge his brother.
Watch reporters on France 24 and France24.com.